Everyone knows how to play Simon Says, right? Everybody knows how to play that? All right. Simon Says, take the preacher to lunch and let him pay the bill. Simon didn't say let him pay the bill. You got to know how to say Simon.
Pulpit mic. Whoa, okay. We'll back off of that. Thank you very much. One of these days, we're going to figure this thing out. I don't know when, but one of these days, we're going to get this PA system figured out. Anyway, Jesus is the head of the church, and he is the bridegroom. And he is the good shepherd. And we are to follow him wherever he may go. In the cartoon Peter Pan, the kids sing a song. We're following the leader, the leader, the leader. We're following the leader wherever he may go. Jesus, yeah, you didn't know I could sing, did you? Jesus. I love it when somebody gets tickled. Just can't help themselves. All right. Well, Jesus is our leader, and we are to follow him, and he leads us in places sometimes that we might not want to go, but we are to follow him wherever he leads. One fine day, Jesus had been going from village to village, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing people from all manner of diseases. And then he stopped and he looked at the multitudes milling back and forth here and there. People just moving about. And his heart went out to them. You know how it is when you see someone who's helpless, someone in a pitiful condition, and you feel a yearning to help them. There's a choking sensation as you're in your throat as you fight back the tears. Back in 2004, the tsunami that devastated Southeast Asia hit the coast of India, and more than 22,000 people died in just a few minutes. More than 22,000 people along the coast of India died. And one of the most heart-wrenching pictures that I saw from this horrible event was a mother standing with the bodies of five of her children lying about her, weeping in such a way she could not be consoled, and they never recovered the body of her husband or her youngest child. She lost her husband and six children within just a matter of minutes. And your heart just goes out. I had to fight back tears, and I actually wasn't able to do it. The Bible says in Matthew 9, verse 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. His heart went out to them. In John chapter 10, verse 4, Jesus spoke of a shepherd leading his sheep out of the fold. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. But these people were like sheep having no shepherd. In John 10, also, verse 11 through 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. David says in Psalm 100, verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We're talking about sheep. Jesus being the good shepherd. We're talking about following Him. As we saw in our text this morning from Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22, go with me back to Matthew 4 and let's read on just a few more verses. Verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of diseases among the people. This is almost a repeat of what is said in Matthew 9, verse 36. Verse 24, then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. And great multitudes followed him from Galilee, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. This morning I want to talk about chasing Jesus. Chasing Jesus. Wherever Jesus went, crowds of people would chase after him. There were times when Jesus had to just sneak off by himself just to get a little peace and quiet, just to have a little time to rest and to even pray. He would have to go out and pray all night just to get away from the crowds. He couldn't get out to pray even. Everywhere he went, people were chasing after him. Now, obviously, many were just looking for what they could get out of it, like in the crowd that was fed the food or healing or something of that nature. Jesus says, you're coming after me because you're hoping for another meal, if you'll allow me to paraphrase. And then yet there were others who followed them because they saw him as their shepherd, and they needed his leadership. They wanted him to show them the way to go. And Jesus said repeatedly to people, time and time again, follow me, follow me. What does that mean? To chase after Jesus, to follow Jesus, what does that mean? Well, a couple of verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, To this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Follow His steps. This does not imply that we're to live having no place to lay our head. It does not imply that we are to travel from town to town. It's not suggesting that. It's talking about the kind of people that we're to be. I know that this was a phrase that Charles used many times. We're to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. I remember him saying that many, many times. The kind of people that God wants us to be. But that's exactly what this is talking about. Following in His steps means being like Jesus. That kind of person. In 1 John 2, 6, it says, he who abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. The way Jesus conducted himself, the way he lived his life, the way he dealt with God, and the way he dealt with his fellow man. That's the example that has been given to us for us to follow in his steps. Ephesians 4 verse 1, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Walk worthy of the calling. Now you know something, with every single one of us, there are changes that have to be made if we would follow Jesus. With every one of us, there are things about ourselves that need to get out of the way. I don't know if it's a bad temper. I don't know if it is a selfish attitude. I don't know if it is an unforgiving spirit. I don't know if it is a worldly mind. Whatever it is for you, there's something with every single one of us, there are things about us that need to be brought in check and moved off to the side, moved off center, so that Jesus can have his rightful spot in the center of our lives. There are things about every one of us that need to change. that none of us are so mature, none of us are so spiritually minded that there's still not something else that needs to be changed in the way we live if we would follow Jesus. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 29, conform to the image of God's dear Son. That's his desire for us. That's why God makes all things work together for our good, so that we can conform ourselves, be conformed to the image of his dear Son. In Romans 12, verse 2, he says that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by changing the way we think, by changing our attitude, the way we see things, the way we think about things. Following in his steps means that we think like Jesus thinks. Now somebody says, who would presume to be able to understand how Jesus thinks? Hey folks, he's revealed to us how he thinks right here. He's revealed it. He's shown us. And he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So not only are we learning how Jesus thinks, we're learning how the Father thinks. We're learning the things as you read through your scriptures. You learn things that are important to God. You learn the things that are important to Jesus. And so they should be important to us. If they're important to God, they should be important to us. So yeah, while we do not know the mind of God, we can understand what is a priority for God, what is important to God. The kind of people that God wants us to be, we can understand that. In Ephesians 5 verse 2, it says, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and given himself for us. Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Jesus gave himself to save us, but Jesus walked in love. He loved us, gave himself for us, and so Paul instructs us to walk in love. Walk in that kind of love where my way is not what's important. What I like and what I want is not what's important. Oh, I like things convenient. I like it when the temperature is just the right warmth and just the right cool. I like it when I first step up here and I sit down there and I feel that breeze blow on me. That feels nice. There are things that I like. I like a comfortable pair of shoes. I like a good hot cup of coffee. None of that sissy, warm stuff, tepid coffee like some folks want to drink. No. Now, Henry Carter, he don't like good coffee. He wants black, bitter stuff. Black, bitter stuff. It's what God wants that is important, not what I want. And somehow we've got to get our minds to let go of what we want and focus on what God wants. Gary, I'm going to talk about you for a minute. I hope that's okay. Yeah, you. Yeah. He couldn't hear me for a minute. Last week at Hugo's funeral, Gary and I were talking. You're the one that inspired this lesson. We were talking about how that folks, sometimes we get kind of petty and we bicker about insignificant details, little things just that really don't add up, that won't matter even a year from now, much less 100 years from now. And it's easy for us to get caught up in the day-to-day and the mundane little details. And I'm not talking doctrine. I'm talking about procedure. I'm talking about inconveniences or things that are our own personal pet peeves. And we all have personal pet peeves. Don't you just hate having a personal pet peeve? But we all do. And it's so easy for us to become sidelined and sidetracked with these personal pet peeves that we can end up letting wedges, letting barriers be built between the people that we're supposed to love, people that are our family, people that we're supposed to be helping each other get to heaven. And it's so easy for us to think, well, we'll get that straightened out someday, but someday doesn't come. Someday doesn't come. We cannot afford to be petty if we're going to follow Jesus. If we're going to chase after our Lord, then we must put pettiness aside and focus on doing what's right and being the best people we can be. And we got to learn how to be gracious toward others, toward our family, toward our friends, toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. We all need to work on being gracious with each other, kind, compassionate, forgiving, understanding, patient with each other. We all need to work on that, every one of us. Because to follow Jesus means to try to be like Him. And He had compassion upon these people, like sheep that have no shepherd. We've got to learn how to be compassionate with each other and take the opportunities that we have to do good while those opportunities are there, because they will go away. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If God forgives us, we must forgive each other. And we must not allow things to stand between us and those that we love. There's two words I want to stress right now, and then we're going to draw this to a close. Number one, following. Number two, pursuing. To follow implies to walk after. To walk after, to stay on the trail, to stay right behind. In Matthew 14:13, when Jesus heard it, He's talking about John the Baptist, John's death. It says He departed from there by boat to a deserted place by Himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed Him on foot from the cities. They were following Jesus. They're going to where He is. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be going where Jesus is. We need to be becoming who Jesus is, what He is. In Psalm 63:8, my soul follows close behind You. Your right hand upholds me. Those are beautiful words that carry the idea that we want to stick as close to Jesus as we can. Be as close to Him as we can get. Not how far can I get? Well, Lord, I can still see You on the horizon. Is this close enough? No, it's not. Bless your heart. Some of you think that all you got to do is show up for church and that's it. That's all that's required of you. I'm sorry, but you're keeping Jesus on the horizon. You're not getting as close to Him as you can. If you think that all you got to do is just show up for church. Now, showing up for church is important. In fact, just showing up is important. But we're talking about a quality of Christian life here. We're talking about seriously serving the Savior like we talked about 2 weeks ago. Following Jesus closely, closely. You know, desperate people will follow Jesus. People who realize how badly they need Him will follow Him. In Matthew 9:27, when Jesus departed from this particular place, two men followed Him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Now, this is right after Jesus had raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. And so as He's leaving that place, these two blind men followed Him. They knew it was Jesus was there. They didn't see Him, obviously, but they knew He was there. And they cried out, Son of David, have mercy on us. We all need to realize how hopelessly lost we are without Christ. And if He's off in the distance, and if basically we can barely see Him, we're not close, and we're not close enough. We need to get closer to Him. We need to draw closer to Him. See, we all need to get as close to Jesus as we can. I want you to notice how a shy little child will stand clinging to mommy's skirt, just holding on to mommy's leg or holding on to her skirt and not letting go. Just right there, just a shy little child, just holding real tight. Why does a child do that? Because mommy makes her feel safe. And she knows that if you get too far from mommy, a bear might get you. So you're going to stay as close to mommy as you can. That's the way a little child thinks. In Mark 10, now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. In Sunday school this morning, I said, remember these two incidents in John 5 and John 9, where Jesus healed on the Sabbath day and it caused all kinds of trouble. And both these times were in Jerusalem. So now, in Mark 10, Jesus is on his way back to Jerusalem for the last time. For the last time. And the disciples know they're going to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. He's in front. They're following after. They are amazed, and look what it says. And as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. Do you think that calmed their fears? No. No, it did not. They're even more afraid. Why are they afraid? Because Jerusalem is where bad things are going to happen. Jerusalem is where they hate Jesus. Jerusalem is where these Jewish leaders are conspiring against him to kill him. And the disciples know this. They know this. They're scared. Sometimes Jesus would lead us into places that we may be afraid to go. And sometimes, at the very least, uncomfortable for us to go. There may be things he would have us to do that we don't really want to do. Fine. You remember what Jesus said about Simon Peter? When you're old, you'll be led where you would not go. And he was making reference to Peter's own death. How that Peter would be put to death for Christ? Yeah? There are times when Jesus would lead you where you might not want to go. And you might be scared. But if you cling closely to him, hold on tight, grab hold of his skirt, grab hold of his leg, hold on tight, get as close as you can, stay under the shadow of Jesus, you don't have to be afraid. You can face anything Satan throws at you, anything the world casts your way. You can handle any problem you encounter if you're standing under the shadow of Jesus. Because he is your brother. He is your Lord. He is your Savior. He is your God. And he will take care of you. And if it costs you your life, he will be with you as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And he will take you home. You have that promise. Stay as close to him as you can. But now you need to understand something. As we said a few moments ago, we all have to make changes in our life. There's work to do. There's kingdom work to be done. Work for the Lord to be done. And as Jesus says in John 15, verse 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abide in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You can't break a habit. You can't overcome a temptation. You cannot face persecution. Your faith will not stand up by itself if Jesus is not right there with you. You don't stand a chance. Because I'm going to tell you something about the devil. He is well organized. And he has a vast army of disciples. A vast army. And they know how to get to you in ways that you can't imagine. You need help. You need the Lord's protection. This is why it's imperative that you stay as close to Jesus as you can. You can't accomplish any good work for the Lord. You cannot help save a soul for Jesus. You don't even know how to pray without the help from above. We need God's help. And to have that, we've got to stay as close to him as we can. That's what it means to follow Jesus. One final little thought, and that is the word pursuing. This scripture is interesting to me. It's in Psalm 34. If you'd like to open your Bibles to Psalm 34, we'll conclude right here. In Psalm 34, it says, depart from evil and do good. Verse 14, Psalm 34 beginning at verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. But now notice the following verses. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Isn't that great? Isn't that comforting? The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. Why would the righteous cry out? Troubles, pain, anguish, fear, any number of feelings, any number of situations they might be in. But they cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Do you know how the Lord will deliver us? He might take away your pain. He might ease your suffering. He might remove that persecution. He might restore your health. He might meet your earthly need. But one thing is for sure, He will take you out of all your troubles when you leave this world. Brother Hugo is done with his troubles. Isn't that great? He will take you out of your troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. And He saves such as have a contrite spirit, a humble spirit before the Lord. People who recognize who God is and what God wants from them. God wants our humble service. He wants us to love Him and to love each other. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Oh, follow Jesus. Chase after Him. Follow as closely as you can. He's the only hope you got. We're going to lean on the Lord. We're going to lean on each other. We're going to help each other get to heaven, but we've got to stay close to Jesus if any of us are going to make it. As you consider your life and your situation, if there's anything standing between you and God today, we invite and encourage you to make it right while you can. If you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then give Him control of your life. Turn away from sin. That's what repentance is. Turn away from sin and commit yourself to the service of God. Confess that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. The blood of Jesus will wash your sins away.